I believe that when God appoints us to a task, a job, or a ministry, he anoints us as well. I don't want to do the job if God hasn't anointed me. Freedom Church, I believe, has been anointed for such a time as this. Let's get right into our Bible and look at the anointing. We've been talking about the word fresh here in January. A fresh start. A fresh touch. Today we're going to talk about a fresh anointing. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "You have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king." Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for what you're doing today, what you did in our service, the power and the presence of the Lord. We ask you just to minister through these words, and I pray that each one of us would walk out with a fresh anointing of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Fill your flask with olive oil. Now, your flask, I don't have one of those. It was a bigger flask. It had more oil in it, but the prophet Samuel kept this for special tasks. He would anoint people with it when they had a special calling on their life. The oil was a symbol of God's anointing. This means that someone was about to be chosen, commissioned, empowered, or set apart for special service. The oil flowing from a flask onto someone's head brought a physical confirmation of God's choosing and God's power upon your life. Samuel went to anoint the next king. He had already anointed Saul as king, and God did mighty works through Saul, but Saul began to wander away from God. Be careful. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. Be careful about wandering away from God's anointing in your life. Now Samuel has to do it again. God tells him to go to Bethlehem and anoint a son of Jesse. So the sons come to the priest, and Samuel begins to look them over. You ever look at somebody and you try to judge them by their appearance? It's quiet in here. Thank you. 1 Samuel 16, 6 through 7. When they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, "Surely this is the Lord's anointed." Something about him. He was the oldest. He probably had confidence. He was probably tall, good looking. Don't you like those tall, good looking guys? Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Nicole. Appreciate that. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him." The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God doesn't anoint you or I because of outward stuff. Looks, height, weight, appearance do not matter when it comes for God appointing and anointing. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful you don't have to be a certain way or look a certain thing or talk a certain way? But God, when he calls you, he appoints you and anoints you the way you are. He's looking for something deeper, something more, a hunger, a thirst. Let's continue reading. In the same way, all seven of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." I bet he was a little confused. I don't see any of the God isn't, am I hearing wrong? Am I missing something? Then Samuel asked, "Are these all the sons you have?" "Oh, they're still the youngest," Jesse replied. "But he's out in the fields watching the sheep and the goats." Send for him at once, Samuel said. We will not sit down to eat until he arrives. So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, this is the one. Anoint him. So as David stood there among his brothers, can you imagine that? All of his big brothers watching him receive the anointing. I'm the youngest of seven. Anybody here the baby of the family? And let me see your hands. I see several. Don't you love it when God does something for you in front of your big brothers and sisters? Isn't it awesome? So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Then Samuel returned to Ramah. Notice that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him powerfully from that day on. He was anointed to be the next king, but didn't become king for many years. Timing is also a part of the anointing. David was anointed to lead and be the next king, attacking the enemies, protecting his people from the enemies. God anoints people in different ways. Some he anoints for leadership. Some he anoints for witnessing, anoints for healing, praying for people, teaching, singing. By the way, all of us, I believe, can be anointed for witnessing. I mean, God gives some people a special gift of evangelism, but every one of us should be witnessing with our life, with our words. I mean, every one of us. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every one of us are called to that. So we see that Samuel anointed David for a specific cause. Priests were also anointed in the Old Testament. The purpose of anointing the priests was to ordain them to God's service. This meant that their lives were set apart from all other things and given completely to serve God. You can lose the anointing, though. Watch this. Samson was called and anointed by God. But he started messing around with sin. And sin got a hold of him, and he began to get himself involved with a woman named Delilah. God told Samson, do not cut your hair. But he began to flirt with this disaster and sin and get caught in a trap. And finally, Delilah cut his hair. Messed him up. Now watch this. Judges 16:20. Then she cried out, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. When he woke up, he thought, I will do as before and shake myself free. But he didn't realize the Lord had left him. Church, we need to be careful that we continue to walk in God's anointing. Yes. As Christians, as leaders, as people. So that way, we don't play around with sin. We don't play around with the world. And one day, when God calls upon us to do something, we go to do it, and we don't even know the Lord has left. That's a scary place to be. But thankfully, the Lord gave Samson his anointing back at his death. Praise God. We want to walk daily in God's anointing, getting closer and closer to his presence. Yes. Not playing around and walking the fence of God's presence in the world. That just brings misery. Right. Don't try to live for God and the world. If you're going to sin, sin. That's not what I'm trying to tell you to do, believe me. But don't play around with both. God's got so much more for us. He's got power and anointing. We want a life of adventure. Get all into God. Get all into his presence. Get all into, if you think life is boring, start going up to people and talking to them about Jesus, strangers. Start going to your friends at school if you think life is boring and start telling them about Jesus. See how life gets exciting. Never say church is boring. Never say God is boring. God is not boring. God is so exciting. Someone say amen. So we see that the Old Testament, there was people that was anointed for specific tasks, jobs, kings, priests, judges. And then we see that Jesus was anointed. Look what it says in Isaiah 61 about Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Anybody been bound here, but Jesus has set you free? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. So we see that Jesus walked in this anointing. Everywhere he went, he was anointed to touch this person, that person, the leper, the blind eyes, the Pharisees. He was even anointed to speak to those Pharisees. Call them hypocrites. You got to be anointed to do that. Not a jerk. You got to walk in the anointing to confront people.
That's right.
Oh, a lot of people confront people in their own flesh with anger and rawr. But you got to be anointed to be able to talk to them and look them in the face and tell them exactly what they need to hear. Whew. Because Jesus did that. He did not, what I love about Jesus, he did not back down. Wow. Anyways, he showed us the example. He said that we can have the same power, the same anointing. Look what he says. He says that greater things shall you and I do. Wait a minute. He raised the dead. He caused the blind to see. How in the world? He says, greater things shall you do. Give us that kind of faith. Give us that kind of anointing. Can someone say amen? How many want to see that kind of thing happen again at Freedom Church in Tallahassee? Now, so not only we see the Old Testament and then Jesus, we see that believers are anointed in the New Testament and beyond by the filling of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, but you will receive power. Everybody say power.
Power.
Say it stronger. Say power. Thank you. Thank you. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus was telling the disciples and us that we would be his powerful witnesses all over. We need that power. We need that anointing. Too many Christians are walking around powerless. Walking into Walmart powerless. We need power in Walmart. We need power when we go into our families, into our offices. We need power of the Holy Spirit. Why do we need that anointing? To do ministry. Ministry just does not happen here at the church.
Right.
Ministry is not just here in the pulpit and singing and playing the drums. Ministry can happen in the nursery.
Amen.
Can I hear a big amen from all the nursery help?
Amen.
Ministry can happen with the youth. Ministry can happen on the street. Ministry can happen in your office. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in every area of our life.
Yes.
Yes. Let's take a look at what Ephesians says. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility, and I'm going to say this, our responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. That way we can have a mighty kingdom right here at Freedom. We can just build our own Freedom Kingdom, right? That's what that's for, right? So we can just have a Perry Dismore Freedom Church Kingdom. Is that why? No. So we can build up the church to do ministry, so we can minister to more people. How many think all of Tallahassee is reached for the gospel? Let me see your hand. How many think that we're doing a pretty good job as the church is reaching all of Tallahassee? There's a lot of people, a large amount of percentage of people that are not in church this morning. There's a lot of people that don't consider themselves believers. We got a job to do. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all, everybody say all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Why do we have all these ministries? Why do we have youth ministry? Why do we have young adults? Why do we have women's ministry? For discipleship and growing. And why do we have nursery ministry? I love nursery ministry. My wife and I have sat back there in nursery ministry, and we need nursery ministry helpers. Nursery ministry. We get to play with babies. We get to hold babies. We get to bless families when moms come in needing God. When dads come in needing God. Isn't it nice to have nursery ministry, Daniel and Tiffany? You see, ministry happens so much more than right here in the pulpit. Music. Greeters, women's ministry, prayer ministry, youth, kids, nursery, rangers, stars, nursery. And let me tell you this. I believe this as I was praying about this and thinking about this. We should not have any problems filling any of our ministry slots. I believe that with all my heart. That's a goal of mine. Junior church. I believe that we have enough people here at Freedom Church to fill every ministry need and more for this church. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Every one of you said amen and clapped. I need you. Yeah. Usher ministry, parking ministry. Do you know that we need parking ministries? Because of the issues we're having. All of these ministries, God wants to anoint you. And when you walk up to somebody out at the door and you're anointed and you say, "Welcome to Freedom Church," you need an anointing for that. Yeah. Yeah. Wow, three of you. I want to tell you why. Because God may strike it upon your spirit that they need something right there. Can I pray with you? You see, anointed ministry, we even have ministry of food in our church. And I believe that we have an abundance of people that we should fill. And that's just here in our church. As we expand and as we get ready to go on an outreach. Tomorrow night, I want to encourage you to come for prayer again. Last week, we had about 20 people. It was powerful. It was awesome. I want to encourage you tomorrow night to come for prayer. Prayer is what moves the church. Yes. Not tomorrow night, but the following Monday, we're going to meet early for prayer, and then we're going to go out and share Christ with people on the street. Someone say amen. Yes. Why do we need anointing? You see, the anointing is that power of the Spirit for that moment, for that ministry, for that word. The power of the Spirit for that class. How many need your anointing when you're dealing with four-year-olds? Right, Miss Dorinda? Amen. I love the story about Mark Buntain. Mark Buntain was a missionary over to India And one time he was over here in the States on furlough or on break, and he did a youth service. God did a mighty work in the youth service, and afterwards they were to go to the gym, and they were to have pizza and games and have fun. Well, after the service, Mark Buntain went out with some of the leaders to eat. And the youth were having a good time, and all of a sudden, a demon-possessed person started showing himself in that youth group. And so several of the people began to take him over and began to pray for him. And for an hour, they prayed to try to cast this demon out of this man. When Mark Buntain came back from eating, they told him the situation, and they were still over in the corner praying for this young man. He said, "Excuse me for a minute." And he went over to them, and it says, "In the name of Jesus, come out." Boom. Gone. Why? Because he had the anointing. He had the anointing. See, church, we need more. I love the testimony that came in. And I'm going to try to find it here. This is a testimony that came in just this week about praying for people. I've been encouraging you to pray and to ask God to use you out in the streets or out places. This testimony comes from Miss Renee. It says, "I just got to pray over a fortune teller in the name of Jesus. I asked Jesus to take out everything not of him. This person was crying. We pray with people every day, everywhere, but when you get to really war with the dark side, it's extra amazing." Someone say, "Praise the Lord." And that's what the anointing is for. In that moment, the anointing is not just for service, but the anointing is out there on the street, in your office, in the field, working with people, going to the grocery store, going out to eat. We need that anointing everywhere, on FSU campus, hanging out with friends on a Friday night. We need that anointing. Someone say amen. A fresh anointing. Here's how I want us to close. I want us each to ask God for a fresh anointing. Because all of us are facing situations, problems, things that we don't know how to handle. We need God's anointing. See, the anointing is for things that you can't do on your own strength. I can't heal a blind man. I can't heal a leper. But in the anointing, we can do that. I don't know how to talk to somebody that's an atheist without God's anointing. We could try to put some words together, but with the anointing, God can prick through the heart. Yes. Amen? Yes. Stand with me. Hallelujah. 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 Father God, we are just flesh. We are just clay. We're made out of dirt, and we're trying to talk to other dirt about you. And sometimes we just bring our dirtness. We need more. You promised to fill our vessel with the oil of your Spirit, the oil of your anointing, the oil of that power. And I'm asking you for a fresh anointing upon me and upon this church. I believe you want to fill this vessel, these vessels, with your anointing, with your oil, to do the work of the ministry. In the name of Jesus.